Thankful to the good Lord to be back with you, and thank you for your prayers. Thankful for the kind introduction. Known Brother Ricky for many years and his good labors among Zion. Very thankful for his steadfastness in the faith, and thankful for Macedonia Church and this opportunity that we have to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sister Karen sends her love. Her recovery's not been as quickly as progress as quickly as we thought it might, and she also may have a little tinge of, or maybe some tweaking of her thyroid, but she does send her love, and I feel a little bit different without her every time I venture out. But you pray for us tonight and ask the Lord to bless the message. I want to look at Luke chapter 1 and look at the wonderful prophecy and the truth that was declared by Zacharias, father of John the Baptist. And we'll begin with verse 67, Luke chapter 1, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that are that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. We'd like to put some of this into context. Hopefully everyone knows that this is the father of John the Baptist, and this is a prophecy concerning not only John, but the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were well stricken in age. They were definitely past childbearing age, she was. And you have an angel that appears unto Zacharias while he's in service with the Lord. Now, well stricken, we're probably looking at somebody in their, 70s? I hope not. That make Brother Ricky well stricken in age. 60s? I hope not. It's going to include some. They're sort of like in their 80s. They're well stricken in age. They're up in years, 40+. And so the angel comes to Zacharias and tells Zacharias that he and Elizabeth are going to have a baby boy. His name's going to be John. And Zacharias doesn't believe the angel. And the angel gets Zacharias' attention real quick.
Amen.
He says, Zacharias, I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel, the one you read about in Daniel, the one that answered Daniel's prayer 400 plus years ago. I am Daniel, or I am Gabriel. And because you did not believe what I told you, you're going to be struck with dumbness. He couldn't speak until his son John was born. Well, John the Baptist was conceived. It was a miraculous conception. Now, not like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born sinless. He was holy and harmless, separate from sinners. He was born of the seed of the woman. But Zacharias and Elizabeth had a boy, and his name was John. And of course, about 6 months into this conception of John the Baptist, the same angel comes to a virgin whose name is Mary. And he tells Mary that she's going to have a miraculous birth, that she shall be conceived, that which is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And she believes that. She says, how could this be? But she believes it because it's Gabriel that comes and delivers the message. Now, sometimes primitive Baptists, will preach things, and sometimes people don't believe what we preach. And I've never met somebody that's been struck dumb by something that I said and they didn't believe it. But when an angel speaks, you better believe it.
Amen.
Because Zacharias was, he was dumb for, he couldn't speak for 9 months, or maybe even a little longer, but he couldn't speak. And so Mary gives this wonderful prophecy, this wonderful song, and as Gabriel told her, now, your cousin Elizabeth is well stricken in years. Guess what? She's 6 months along. She's 6 months along. Sometimes people get real excited when they hear about someone that's, with child. And it is a wonderful thing to hear about the life. But this was miraculous. Elizabeth, up in her 80s, more likely. Elizabeth with child. I mean, the whole community. Elizabeth with child. A 80-year-old woman, well stricken in years, with child. This is phenomenal. And so Mary gets all excited about that. She comes and she arrives there. And as the salutation is given to Elizabeth that Mary is here, John the Baptist, 6 months old, leaps for joy in his mother's womb at the salutation of Mary. You don't think God has ways to affect the little ones in their lives?
Sure.
He leaped for joy. Elizabeth gives this wonderful, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And she gives this wonderful declaration that Mary's with child. From Nazareth down to south of Jerusalem, along the way, she is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And it did not take some kind of test. It was just declared that you are with child. And she was. And for 3 months, around 3 months, she and Elizabeth had the meeting of all meetings. talking about Elizabeth's child.
Yeah.
Talking about Mary's child. And the prophecies that were given by the Holy Spirit. They had a lot to talk about. And Poor old Zacharias, he just had to sit there and listen to two women talking. He couldn't speak a word, could he?
Yeah.
Oh, but he's going to speak. And we read in the opening what Zacharias was going to speak. Because he had a lot to say. He could communicate with writing. And I just wonder if he was down there in the temple of Jerusalem asking and requesting some of the writings of Isaiah. Because Gabriel said something about this was going to be a special child. And he could read over there in the 40th chapter of Isaiah about John the Baptist and his message. He could ask for the scrolls of Malachi, because Gabriel said something about Elijah. He said something about that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he could look at those old scripture writings and could say within himself, this is my boy, this is my child. I've read it before, but now it's going to come to pass. It was written 400 years ago, but now it's going to come to pass. And with the coming of Mary, oh, I bet you old Zacharias was down there. He couldn't speak, but he could read. I can just imagine him looking at all the Old Testament scriptures about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, Mary heads back home. She's 3 months with our Lord and Savior. Now, after 3 months, it might be a little difficult to hide things, especially if you're just a young virgin. You know, people forget that back in those days they married young. Now, I don't want to encourage anybody, but you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, that was their custom back then. She's with child 3 months. And she's got to explain all this to who? To mom and dad and to her espoused husband, Joseph. Who's going to believe her?
Yeah.
A miraculous, a miracle. You left home and now you come back and you're in this shape. Mary had to endure a lot of unearned shame.
Yeah.
She had to endure a lot. And Joseph as well. And Joseph, being a just man, you know the story. He thought to put her away privily. And that tells me something about just people. You know, they don't want to make a big example out of somebody that they think has done wrong or that they've messed up. They want to sort of just, you know, it's not like, you know, pushing dirt under the rug. That's not, it just, he loved Mary. Mary loved him. They were spouse joined together. And he loved her, but he didn't believe her. And he was going to put her away privately. Privily is the Bible word. Not to make her a public example. Not to make her an open shame, but privily. But there was an angel of the Lord that appeared unto him in a dream. And he said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Amen.
And he took her, and they were married, and he knew her not until the child was born. Well, John is born. He's delivered. He comes into the world. They have a big discussion on what he should be named. Someone says, I got a good idea. How about Zacharias Jr.? We're calling him Zacharias. But Zacharias has been communicating with Elizabeth, said his name's going to be called John. This child is a special child. It was named by God himself. God sent an angel, the mighty angel Gabriel. His name's going to be called John. Well, they had a sort of big dispute, like some people have big disputes about naming children. Some want to be named after on this side of the family. Others name it on this side of the family. And sometimes you get a first and middle name, one from each side of the family to keep peace in the family. But not so, not with this one. This boy is going to be named John. His name is John. That's his name. And when Zacharias wrote that down on that writing tablet, his tongue was loosed. And he'd been listening to Mary and Elizabeth. He'd been reading the scriptures. He hadn't spoken a word for over 9 months. Now he's going to talk, and that's what we read. And what a glorious, wonderful prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. He says, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest," as he's speaking about John the Baptist. But do you notice that he speaks first of someone else? He speaks first of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says here, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he says, blessed be, in verse 68, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Now, if someone hadn't spoken for 9 months, and they were the father of this child, this miraculous child named John, you might think, well, first thing come out of his mouth is something about John. But that's not the first thing that comes out of Zechariah's mouth. The first thing that comes out of Zechariah's mouth is about Mary's child. Mary's child that shall be born. He talks about not the house of Aaron, not the house of Levi, not his family tree. He's going to talk about David's family tree.
Yeah.
He's going to talk about the king of Israel that would set on the everlasting throne of righteousness in heaven, ruling and reigning. He's going to speak about the seed of David.
Right.
And he says, "He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." It's of the seed of David. It's the promised seed that was spoken of by the prophets. Oh, I'm going to tell you, when we think about the seed of David and the promises that were, you know, the Lord said unto my Lord. You're talking about the Lord reigning on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so in verse 70 we read, "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." You start thinking about all the wonderful prophecies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's one of the first prophecies that you can recall that was spoken of? Well, it was given to Eve.
Yeah.
It talked about how the head of the serpent would be bruised by her, the seed of the woman. That there would be a seed of the woman. It'd be a virgin with child. The prophecies of Isaiah about a virgin being with child. Wonderful prophecies throughout the scriptures. And as Zacharias knew those prophecies from Abraham and Job, Job said, "I know my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day upon this earth." He talked about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Elijah, David, and Micah, all the prophets of old prophesied about this special one, the Son of God, the Ancient of Days, that would come in the flesh and redeem his people and save them from their sins. And so when we think about, that's what Zacharias wanted to talk about. That's what he was excited about, was that the Son of God would come and redeem his people from their sins. Verse 71, reads that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. You know, a lot of times people, when those Old Testament prophets were prophesying about the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they would have these wonderful prophecies about the kingdom and about Zion and about the Gentiles, they were not prophesying about a natural Israel or a natural kingdom. Oftentimes, anytime there's something happening over there in the Middle East, people get all excited. Let me just tell you this. Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, he said, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight. My kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. The New Testament church is an everlasting kingdom. And it's not built with bullets and boats, but it's built upon the solid rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful message of grace and the stones, the lively stones that make up the building. You're here tonight as living and lively stones. And who made you alive? Who brought you from a state of death in trespasses and in sins to a life in Christ? It is the King, Jesus. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. You have any enemies tonight? How about sin? Sin's a big enemy, isn't it?
Yeah.
How big of an enemy is it? Well, the Apostle Paul says it's a pretty big enemy. He says sin abounds. It's powerful. He writes to the church at Corinth. And he says, the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Is the law. It's a big enemy to God's people. People have many sad and terrible days because of sin here in this life. If it wasn't for the blood of the everlasting covenant, we would die in our sins.
Yeah.
Jesus used that expression 3 times to some wicked individuals that, yes, they died in their sins and they're in hell right now.
Yeah.
He says, I'm from above, you're from beneath. Where I go, ye cannot come. Ye shall die in your sins. Sin is a great enemy. But it says here, as he mentions the horn of David, the seed of David, the one that would come from the loins of David, that he would save us from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Oh, listen, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that delivered God's children from the hand of all that hate them. We can only guesstimate how many people who have died for the cause. The book that we have, the Bible, there's been thousands of people that have died for the very book that we read. Rome was against the church, killed thousands of those who called upon the name of the Lord. The Jewish leaders were out to destroy the church, Stephen being one of the great martyrs of the church. And as Paul says, that we're just as sheep for the slaughter.
Right.
Nay, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Yeah.
You think Stephen was a conqueror? If you looked at it just on, you say, well, there's a man over there holding some coats and some others, giving the nod of approval. And then they're picking up stones and they're stoning him to death. It looks like. He wasn't delivered from his enemies. Oh, he was delivered from his enemies.
Yeah.
You get to heaven, you ask Stephen if he wasn't delivered from his enemies, and ask him who delivered him from his enemies, as he gave indictment after indictment to those Jews and to that nation of people. He says, I see the heavens open and there's one standing. It's Jesus welcoming him home. I don't know if Jesus stands for everybody, but he stood for Stephen because Stephen stood for him. He stood for Stephen. And that was a great way to leave this world. Verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. What are you talking about, Zacharias? He says, I got a lot to say. I haven't been able to speak for 9+ months. I've been reading. I've been listening to Mary and to Elizabeth for 3 months. I got a lot to say, being filled with the Holy Spirit. We read in Psalm 111 that he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded, there's that word again. He hath commanded, he's promised, he's commanded his covenant. Forever, holy and reverend is his name. Some people want to ask why we're not called reverend. Well, that's his, that belongs to him.
Amen.
And I come across people sometimes, they don't. You know, we're ignorant about a lot of things, and some people are ignorant about Old Baptists, why we call each other brothers and sisters, and sometimes we call each other elder, pastor, whatever. But holy and reverend is his name. Why? Because God sent him, he sent his son, to perform the actions of the covenant, and that was to redeem his people. Verse 73, the oath which he sware unto our father Abraham. What are you talking about, Zacharias? Well, he said to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed. But how can that be? Only the Jews have the Mosaic law. The Ten Commandments was given to the Israelites. How can it be unto all people? Because the Apostle Paul gives a good light on that. He said that Abraham's seed, the seed of Abraham, singular.
Right.
Not the seeds, but the seed of Abraham. And that seed is Christ.
Right.
And the reason all the nations of the world will be blessed is because Jesus Christ has his people in all the nations of the world. Jesus Christ died for his people wherever they are. And we read that in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we're very, very thankful to know and understand that, that God has his people around this world.
Yeah.
So how do you know that, Brother Jeff? Well, I read over there in the book of Revelation, don't you, chapter 5?
Yeah.
When he says, there's a host in heaven singing, not unto us, not unto us, but by thy blood thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue, and people in the earth. If you don't sing it now, you're going to sing it then up there in heaven's pure and free world. So he sent redemption to his people. In Abraham's seed, that is Christ, we have eternal salvation. And it says here that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. You know, it's wonderful to serve God without fear.
Amen.
You need to know the truth to serve him without fear. If you think you work to get it, you can do something to lose it. That's a fearful, that's a hard taskmaster master there. We can serve him without fear. Knowing that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can fall to sleep tonight on that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be fearful and afraid that one of your relatives or your children reaches a certain age. You can serve God without fear.
Right.
And you can know that Jesus, God, knows us better than we do ourselves. And he knows what we have need of before we ask. And he will not hand us a serpent. He won't hand us a stone. He'll hand us some bread. He'll help us along life's journey. When we mess up and flub up, and he just says, forgive others. God will forgive you.
Yeah.
You come to the throne of grace and find help in your need. You come to the Lord. He's not a hard taskmaster.
Right.
He's our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
And He loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. And that's what Zacharias is speaking about here. Tell us more, Zacharias. Tell us a little bit more. That we should, in holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life. All the days of our life. Verse 76. You say, well, Zacharias has a lot to say about Mary's boy. Yeah, he does. Matter of fact, he has a lot more to say about Mary's boy than he does his own.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you, that ought to be a good example for every God-fearing parent.
Yeah.
And grandparent. You love your children, you love your children's children. But if it's not for the blood and the mercy and the performance of the everlasting covenant, you'd be a goner and all your kids be a goner as well. If it wasn't for the wonderful doctrine of election being chosen in Christ, we'd all be gone. But we hear a little bit more about the Lord Jesus Christ. As He says here about this wonderful horn of salvation, and now here in verse 76, He changes. He changes to John. He says, let me tell you a little bit about my boy. I told you about the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary's son. Let me tell you about my son, John. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. When Zacharias tells us about John, but you're right back about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we as old Baptists, we can rightly divide what this is saying here.
Right.
In verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people. Now, who is knowledge of the Lord's salvation given to? The knowledge of salvation is given unto who? His people. That's why one of my fathers in the ministry, he said, now, Brother Jeff, he says, when you preach, you feed the sheep and you barbecue the goats. And I haven't forgotten that. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't put them out there before dogs. There's people that hate this. They won't have any part of it. And the more you preach it to them, the madder they'll get. But this knowledge of salvation is for who? His people. The same ones that He saved by His covenant blood that washes whiter than snow. John's job was to comfort God's children.
Yeah.
Isaiah 40 opens up with the message of John the Baptist. He says, John, comfort. Comfort ye, comfort ye. Who? The world? All of Adam's race? Comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye, my people. Tell them that the Lord has paid double for all their sins. Tell them that the warfare is over. Tell them the good news from the far country that Jesus bled and died and rose again. And John, he looks around there in Isaiah 40 in his message, and surely he did. Can you imagine a man filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb? The Holy Spirit, John's heart, his soul, his mind is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he looks around and what does he see? He sees a nation lost. He sees fathers not caring for their children. He sees children not caring for mom and dad. He sees a religion that's gone crazy with rules and regulations. He says, and he sees people dying all around him. He says, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass.
Yeah.
It's like the flower of the field. We all dying. And the Spirit comes back and fills John's heart. And he says, yea, all flesh is grass. Yeah, he's like the flower of the field. He's cut down. But remember this, John, and this is your message. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And I like that. Because Jesus Christ, the living word, Oh, he endureth forever. He's the one that's going to take care of death. And that last enemy, we talk about enemies, the last enemy to be destroyed is what?
Death.
Is death. And so he says John's going to give the knowledge of this salvation that we have. I believe the Apostle Paul sort of says something similar. He says about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling in 2 Timothy 1, 9. He's called us and saved us and called us with a holy calling, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy.
Yeah.
There's that word again.
Yeah.
Zacharias used it a lot. According to his mercy, he saved us. And he says that Jesus Christ has come and he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. John the Baptist preached the gospel. What did he preach? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Did he do it? He sure did. Did he save his people from their sins? He sure did. The message of John was to point individuals to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To give knowledge of salvation. Now, to give salvation is one thing. That comes by the Lord Jesus Christ. To give knowledge of the salvation, that comes by the gospel. And that's why we can rest in the finished work of Christ. Verse 78 reads, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Zacharias just switches right back to the Lord. He says he's come. The one that Daniel was waiting for. The one that Gabriel talked about. He's come. He's visited us. You know, sometimes people say, "Do you think this earth was ever visited by extraterrestrials?" I said, "Well, yeah, angels. And especially the Son of God, the Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus Christ." And what does this gospel do? It says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Right.
Paul talks about the gospel minister, talks about God's people, that they have their feet shod with the gospel of peace. Peace. The world's been searching for peace ever since Cain murdered his own brother. Even farther back than that, when our first parents fell in the garden. But one of these days, there will be that everlasting peace.
Yeah.
Everlasting peace. I'll hasten on. Verse 80, it says that John the Baptist grew and waxed strong in spirit, was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Until the days of his showing unto Israel. More than likely, Elizabeth and Zacharias died, you know, before the showing of John the Baptist, before people came to be baptized by him, and Judea would come, and they would come and they'd be baptized. More than likely, they did not live to hear their son preach a sermon. But they were very instrumental. If they did, they'd have to be like maybe 110 years old or even above that. But more than likely, since we read that John went out there into the wilderness, they more than likely died because he wouldn't have forsaken mom and dad. You think about it. The only child, mom and dad up in years, and the boy just take off. He more than likely buried his mother Elizabeth, buried his dad Zacharias side by side. He being filled with the Spirit of God. He knew something about the resurrection.
Yes.
Things were given to John that was never given to any other prophet. John's ministry was short. 6 months, a year. But what a ministry. You know, where he had his head chopped off. Before he was beheaded. Now I can just sort of imagine that when he and Jesus were out there in the Jordan River, and John by the Spirit said, "I have need to be baptized of thee." John knew that there was a man standing before him that was perfect. And yet he did not know that that was Messiah until the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. As a little infant, 6 months old, John had leaped for joy. But to baptize his Lord and his Savior, I tell you, that's joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
And then John's in prison not too long after that. And there's two ways some can take this. You know, he sent a couple disciples there, and the message was, "Art thou the Christ, or shall we look for another?" And one way that one might interpret that is where John just came overwhelmed with disbelief or unbelief that he wasn't the Christ. Another way you could take that is, hey, if you are, I know who you are, but I'm in here and you're out there and they're getting ready to chop my head off. And if thou art the Christ, the Messiah, you know, it's getting close. They're plotting, they're manipulating. There's some dancing going on in there. And somebody wants my head on a charger. Art thou the Christ, or do we look for another? And Jesus said, "You'll tell John again. See, this is a different kind of kingdom, John. This is not a kingdom fought with swords. This is a kingdom fought with sheep. This is a kingdom fought with lives given for the cause, laying our lives down for one another, because death is not the end for the child of God. Death is asleep in Jesus. And when Jesus comes to raise the dead, we have victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Go tell John again, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is a gospel kingdom, John. And we look at little Mary now as we close out. Picture Mary at the cross. You know, I would say it was a blessing that Zacharias and Elizabeth, John's parents, didn't have to bury a headless corpse of their boy. Usually the natural state of things is that the parents would go before the children. Very difficult for the children to go before the parents. Very difficult for the parents. And to see that boy without a head would be very traumatic, right, to those two elderly. But here's Mary. She's got to see her boy put to death. And she's there at the cross. I don't know who she was baptized by, whether by John or by one of the disciples of the Lord, we don't know. But she's there, a member of the church. And you're talking about questions going through her mind. John the Baptist has been killed. My son's being tortured as a violent criminal would be tortured. There's betrayal and distrust among the disciples. Judas has sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. My son has a bad name throughout all the land. He's not even welcome back in Nazareth. They tried to kill him when he went back there. And even the leader of the church, the leader of the apostles, the spokesman, not that Peter was any greater than others, but he even said he didn't even know the man. You're talking about a low state in the church. It had to be a low state in the church. And maybe Mary would say, "Where's Gabriel at? He told me about this boy. He prophesied about this boy. It doesn't look like John the Baptist's ministry amounted to much. My son is now dead. Where is Gabriel?" But wait 3 days and three nights, Mary. Wait 3 days and three nights. And Jesus Christ arose from the tomb and he appeared unto many. And I just happen to think that as he appeared unto his apostles, I think he appeared unto Mary, his mother. I can't find it in the scriptures. Maybe it's in there somewhere between the lines. But I just happen to think that he loved his mother enough that somehow he would let her know. During those 40 days, he said he appeared unto many. And she was on that wonderful day that the Apostle Paul described, that occasion where he ascended up into heaven. 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended back to heaven. And there was two angels, doesn't give their names, but they saw the angels. Mary was there. She saw the angels. And she saw her son in his glorified body ascend up into heaven. Ascend up into heaven. Even then, it was all mysterious. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, and Mary was there, she's listed in that group. She's listed there with that church, that small church. And the Holy Ghost came down upon them. Oh, listen. She rejoiced. She rejoiced time and time again. And I have a strong suspicion that everybody wanted to be a friend of Mary. Everybody wanted to be a friend of the mother of the Lord. She was a sinner just like the rest. But she was very, very special. I don't know how long she lived. She was probably about in her 50s, around 50, in the when Pentecost took place. But I can suspect that as she laid there dying, ready to breathe out her last, that she could recall the visitation of Gabriel, of Simeon of old, blessing the child, for all the things that took place about her Savior. But the thing that she rejoiced most in was that this one that was born of her saved her soul from the wrath to come, saved her with an everlasting salvation. And as she would close her eyes in death, she could think that the one that she held in her arms is now holding her in his, as she would fall asleep in Jesus, waiting for the grand and glorious day of the second coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of the Ancient of Days that was just here just 2,000 years ago. That's as long as it's been. It hadn't been that long, just 2,000 years. In God's time, it's 2 days. 1,000 years is a day. A day is 1,000 years. So may we rejoice and understand that as Zacharias and Elizabeth in their old age, they performed a good work with that child, though they more than likely never did see the coming of his ministry. The good work of Mary in raising the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever we go through in this life, May we understand that Jesus still reigns, and the last enemy that he's going to take care of, because it says here he's just going to take care of all our enemies, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. May the Lord bless these words and thoughts to you tonight, and may they be a great comfort to you. And as you go through your pilgrimage and your journey here below, and being a faithful member of the church. Mary was faithful, and Zacharias and Elizabeth were very faithful, and they were very, very much blessed of the Lord. I thank you for your good attention.
Amen.